KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. Speak Out Now recently hosted an online panel discussion on the links between health and structural injustices and how to heal our world. The featured speakers were Raj Patel and Dr. Rupa Maria, co-authors of Inflamed, Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice. They spoke about what they consider to be the hidden relationships between our biological systems and the deep-seated injustices of our political and economic systems. KPFA weekend news anchor and KBOO contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Patel, who's a professor of nutrition at the University of Texas at Austin Lyndon B. Johnson's School of Public Affairs. Rosenberg asked him about the significance of the concept of inflammation.
The idea of inflammation is that your body is inflamed because society is inflamed, because our planet is inflamed because of capitalism and colonial capitalism in particular. And so what we're doing in the book is tracing very specifically how it is that colonial systems of healthcare and of food and of extraction, of patriarchy, of racism have engendered certain ways of being in the world that have committed our planet to flames, and that the destruction of our planet is absolutely feeding into everything from the COVID pandemic to just the wildfires that are currently engulfing y'all over there.
I noticed you're concerned about the racial disparities in our healthcare too. We do hear about that, but you seem to be going much deeper related to what you just said. It's not just a question of racial disparity, it's at the core of the system, the way it functions. Could you talk about why the healthcare system is so screwed up? I presume that you mean more than the U.S. system, right?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, the U.S. system is particularly bad, but you're right, David. I mean, you know, the history of medicine, I mean, it likes to dress itself up in a white coat and pretend that it was benign all along. But the history of medicine has always been as an accompaniment to armed colonialism. It's not like, you know, the men with pikes and horses got off the Spanish ships, and then the doctors kind of gently dabbed the brows of indigenous people, hoping that they would get better. Medicine has always, in its modern form, been a frontline enabler of colonialism. You know, insofar as we have tropical medicine was invented to help white people colonize other parts of the world, right? I mean, that's why you have institutes of tropical medicine in colonial capitals like, you know, Brussels and France and Paris and London, is because certain kinds of disease were afflicting colonizers and so therefore needed to be studied. But, you know, the medicine always takes the sort of racial taint of the sites of its practice. So, for example, I mean, it is true that in the United States, things are particularly bad because we are a particularly racist society. And so, you know, there's a study in 2016 where 58% of white people thought that black skin was thicker than white skin. I mean, obviously that's not true, but it's a racial trope that, you know, has its origins in, you know, in slavery and in technologies of violence against slaves, enslaved people. And so, you know, in 2016, 58% of white people thought this, but 40% of first year white medical students also thought this. And by 4 years of medical training, 20% of white medical students still believed this, this ancient racist myth about skin. And so, you know, this is just a way of saying, look, this isn't just about the history of tropical medicine. This is about how colonialism and racism lives in medicine today, particularly in the United States. But, you know, if you look in Britain and look at who it is that was predominantly exposed to COVID and COVID-related death, in the first instance, it was people of color. And that's not an accident. That's by design.
What do you make of the argument that Ivan Illich makes about modern medicine being counterproductive, that it really makes you sicker than you need to be, and it kind of challenges people's dignity to try to heal themselves through more homespun methods, that idea?
I mean,
that's really separate from what you're talking about.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, you know, to some extent, the ideas that Rupa and I have are very much about recognizing indigenous knowledge as science, And Ivan Illich recognizes these sort of fortresses of colonial medicine as outposts of imperia, of the imperium. And so, one of the doctors whose work we follow in Inflamed is Frantz Fanon. Now, people may know Fanon as a theorist of anti-colonial tactics, and his black skin, white mask, and The Wretched of the Earth are classics for people who want to understand how colonialism works. But he was also a practicing psychiatrist, and so in Algeria where he practiced, he tried decolonizing medicine, and one of the ways that he did that was he worked with middle-class settler French women, and he worked with them to decolonize their treatment. And what that meant for them was setting up a printing press and a film club so that they could see representations of themselves of which they were in charge, and they could circulate stories about themselves in which they could finally see themselves. And that is a way of treating their psychiatric disorders that seemed to be very successful. But for working class Algerian men, that wasn't the answer. For working class Algerian men, they wanted to be outside the hospital and playing football as part of their recovery from trauma and from violence and the psychological distress that accompanied that. So, there are ways that, for example, Frantz Fanon anticipates Illich's ideas that, in fact, there's something very wrong about the hospital. But a lot of this book is based on peer-reviewed science, and we like that. Our argument is not that peer-reviewed science is rubbish. We are both double vaccinated and ready to go, and we think that there's something quite good about peer-reviewed science. What we don't like is the way that modern colonial capitalism has adjudicated who can be a peer. And so instead of saying, well, you should just go home and feel free to try ivermectin, what we're saying instead is, no, what we need is many more peers and recognize for the wisdom that they have held for generations, rather than dismissing indigenous knowledge and then occasionally stealing the fruits of their labor, which seems to be the sort of standard method of operation for industrial, for capitalist pharmaceutical companies.
Do you see modern medicine moving a little bit in that direction, with more acceptance of body work and Indian medicine and Chinese medicine, integrative approaches?
Yes and no, David. So we're certainly seeing, for example, a recognition now that the microbiome is important. For people who don't know what that is, humans are not just one animal. We are on on our skins and in our particularly in our digestive system, we are hosts to trillions of organisms, many of which are not human. And the biome, the microbiome inside our stomachs, has a very strong association with certain kinds of inflammatory disease. The balance and the biodiversity of the things in our guts matters. And people have been saying this for ages, that if we are living in a biodiverse community outside our bodies, there's more biodiversity inside our bodies. But what's the capitalist response to that? Well, we anticipated this in the book, but then as soon as the book came out, we saw that someone was trying to essentially turn the poop of indigenous people into a treatment. And so, recognizing that we need biodiversity, the capitalist response is, well, we're going to turn this poop into a pill, and they will have a more diverse microbiome. But the culture from which this poop comes is going to be destroyed. We're nonetheless going to deforest the Amazon. We're going to license the use of pesticides. We're going to burn their homes to the ground. But we're going to save their poop because it may save us. And that's that capitalist approach of extraction and sort of salvage archaeology and salvage anthropology is incredibly dangerous, because it takes rich traditions of medicine and healing and knowledge and food and reconfigures them into something that can be repurposed for individual therapy and individual profit, when the obvious way to maintain a vibrant internal microbiome is to have a diverse biome outside your body. But that, of course, is less profitable for the pharmaceutical company. So they'd rather just turn poop into a pill and sell it to you than preserve the planet we live on.
And yet you are obviously somewhat optimistic that this can all change. Do you see it changing, say, in the next 10 years?
Well, that's the big fight that we've got ahead of us. It's not clear to me that anything is inevitable. If we carry on the way that we are, it is true that we will see many, many more extinctions. We will see us pass certain points of no return when it comes, you know, in terms of the climate catastrophe from which, you know, many of us will die as a result. But there are already movements for land rematriation. My co-author, Rupa Maria, who is, among other things, a physician at the UCSF, but also the chief instigator at a nonprofit called the Deep Medicine Circle on Ramatush Ohlone territory, is in the process of rematriating land with indigenous comrades in order to be able to, you know, reimagine what medicine might look like when, you know, indigenous and you know, Western traditions come together to heal people in ways that they've never been healed before, on the land and with care and love and with reparation in ways that are radically different from the way the medical system looks at the moment.
It just seems like there's a lot of good stuff out there on the margins, you know, everything from sound healing to various forms of meditation and things that you mentioned. And it's kind of encroaching on the monopoly of Western medicine, I think, at least. It seems like it's better than it was a few decades ago.
It's true. You know, and again, you know, when we have Nobel Prizes in medicine occasionally being now awarded to people who aren't, you know, in the European medical tradition, that's a sign of a certain kind of geopolitical shift that then feeds into the way that medicine can be understood. And I think that that's all to the good if it's accompanied by a breaking of the way that capitalism operates. Otherwise, again, what we'll have is, you know, Chinese tradition or traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda or whatever it is sold to us by hipsters who want to, you know, make as much money as they can, as opposed to recognizing that these medicines circulate in ecologies of care that are radically different from the ones that we have at the moment.
That was KBOO contributor David Rosenberg speaking with Raj Patel, a professor of nutrition at the University of Texas at Austin's Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs and a research associate at Rhodes University in South Africa. Patel is one of the authors of Inflamed, Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice. You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billing. Stay tuned now for COVID Noise Filter.